pull out a sectional chart. Anyone. Spread it out on the kitchen table where you do your planning, and look at the empty space between the airports. Not the airports, not the airspace rings, the empty space. The white and the tan and the little contour lines nobody teaches you to love. Right in the middle of each of those big grids, printed a little bigger and bolder than everything around it, there's a number, two digits, one small, stacked together. Most students draw their course line right across it and never once ask what it's for. That number might be the most important thing on the whole chart. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern, the show where we try to make you a safer pilot one topic at a time. Today we are talking about the maximum elevation figure, the MEF, the biggest number in the quadrant, and how the sectional quietly tells you what's out there in the dark, waiting to ruin your night. Let's walk through this together. Before we get into it, a quick shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial? They've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones you fought for. AviationSoul.com. Go take a look, okay? The MEF, here's what it actually is. On a sectional chart, the whole thing is divided up by lines of latitude and longitude into these quadrangles. These grids bounded by 30 minutes of latitude and 30 minutes of longitude. In each one of those boxes, near the center, you'll find the maximum elevation figure. It's printed in thousands and hundreds of feet above mean sea level. So if you see a big 5 and then a smaller 2 next to it, that's 5,200 feet. That number is telling you the single highest thing in that box, the tallest mountaintop, the tallest tower, the tallest obstruction of any kind inside that quadrangle, plus a little buffer built in. Not the ground under your course line, not the terrain right where you're flying. The highest point anywhere in that whole box. That's the promise the chart is making you. And here's the part most people never learn. That number is not just the height of the terrain. There's math baked into it, and the math is there to protect you. Let me walk you through how the FAA builds that figure. Because once you understand how it's made, you'll never look at it the same way. Start with the highest known feature in the quadrangle. Say it's a mountain, and the terrain peaks at 4,640 feet. Now, if that highest feature is a man-made obstruction, a radio tower, an antenna farm, they add the height of that structure to where its base sits. But then comes the buffer. The chartmakers add a vertical margin to account for two things. One, the possible error in how accurately that obstacle's height was even measured, and two, the natural error in the terrain data itself. Together, that can add up to hundreds of feet. Then they round the whole thing up to the next higher 100-foot value, so that number in the box is not the mountain. It's the mountain plus the tower on top of it, plus a fudge factor for how wrong the survey might be. Rounded up, it is a deliberately pessimistic number. And pessimism in terrain is exactly what you want. Now, why does this matter to you, the pilot planning across country? Here's something I wish someone had told me when I was training. When you draw your course line on that sectional, you're not just planning a route across airports, you're planning a route across the ground. And the ground does not care about your schedule. In the daytime. In good visibility, you can argue that you'll just see the mountain and go around it. Fair enough, but the MEF isn't really a daytime tool. The MEF earns its keep at night, and in reduced visibility, and on those hazy summer afternoons when the horizon disappears into a gray soup, and you genuinely cannot tell where the rising terrain begins. That's when a number on a chart is the only thing standing between you and a hillside. Let me give you a scenario. This is the kind of thing that actually happens, and it has killed real pilots. You're a fresh private pilot. You did your training out of a nice flat field in, let's say, the middle of the country. Pattern altitude 1,000 feet. Pattern work over farmland. The tallest thing for miles was a grain elevator. You learned to fly where the ground was a table. Now you take a trip. You fly west toward the mountains, or into the desert southwest, where the terrain climbs up under you a few thousand feet without ever looking dramatic. You planned a cruising altitude of 6,500 feet because that's a nice legal VFR altitude for your direction, and it felt high. 6,500? That's plenty, right? You look at your chart along the course line, and the terrain under your pencil says maybe 4,000. You feel good? You've got a couple thousand feet. But you never looked at the MEFs in the boxes your line passes through, and if you had, you'd have seen an 8 and a 2 8,200 feet. There's a ridge off to the side of your course. But inside that quadrangle, that stands nearly 2,000 feet above your planned altitude. In the daytime, fine, you'd see it, you'd go around, no drama, but the sun sets, or the visibility drops, or you get pushed off course by a wind you didn't fully correct for, and now you're not over the valley anymore, you're drifting toward the high ground, and you cannot see it. It's just black out there. That 8200 was trying to tell you something on the ground, at the kitchen table, hours before you ever started the engine. The MEF is a pre-flight tool first and an in-flight tool second. You catch the problem with a pencil, not with a windshield. So let's talk about how to actually use it. Step 1, when you plan a cross country, don't just look at the terrain directly under your course line. Look at the MEF for every single quadrangle your route touches, all of them. Because your course line is a thin little pencil mark, but weather pushes you, wind drifts you, and a diversion can throw you 15 or 20 miles off plan in the blink of an eye. The MEF protects the whole box, and you might end up anywhere in that box. Step 2, take the highest MEF along your route and use it to sanity check your cruising altitude. If your planned altitude isn't comfortably above the highest MEF you'll cross, you don't have a route, you have a hazard. And by comfortably, I don't mean by 50 feet. I mean give yourself real room. A couple thousand feet of terrain clearance in the mountains is not excessive. It's sensible, especially when you factor in that mountains generate their own downdrafts that can pin you against the rock even when you think you have altitude to spare. Step 3, and this is the one people forget, remember what the MEF does not do for you. The MEF guarantees you clear the obstacles in the box if you stay at or above that number. It says nothing about your engine's ability to actually get you to that number. In the high country, on a hot day at a heavy weight, your airplane may simply not climb to a safe altitude. That's a density altitude conversation for another day. But the two are joined at the hip. The MEF tells you how high you need to be. Density altitude tells you whether you can get there. You have to answer both questions before you launch. Now let me clear up some confusion, because there are a few numbers on the chart that look similar and get mixed up all the time. The MEF is not the same as the maximum terrain elevation. The MEF includes obstacles and a buffer. Remember, pure terrain height is just the dirt. The MEF is also not a minimum safe altitude in the regulatory sense. It's not telling you the lowest you're legally allowed to fly. That's a different set of rules. The MEF is an information figure. It's the chart being honest with you about the worst thing in the box, and the MEF is not an obstruction clearance altitude like you'd fly on an instrument approach. Instrument charts have their own protected altitudes with their own guaranteed clearance built in. The sectional MEF is a VFR planning number. It tells you what's up there. It doesn't clear you to descend to it. Think of the MEF as the chart's way of saying, if you are at or above this number anywhere in this box, nothing in this box can hit you. That's the whole promise. It's simple, and it's powerful, and it's free, printed right there in ink, and almost nobody uses it on purpose. Let me connect this to the airman certification standards, because your examiner cares about this, whether or not they say the letters MEF out loud. In the cross-country planning task, the examiner is looking for a pilot who can compute and apply terrain and obstacle clearance. When you sit down at that table on your check ride and plan the route, and the examiner watches you draw the line, they are watching to see if you notice the terrain, if you pick a cruising altitude and you cannot explain why it clears the high ground along the way, that's a red flag. If you can point at the MEFs, say, here's my highest one, here's why my altitude clears it with margin, and here's what I'd do if I couldn't climb that high. Now you're demonstrating exactly the risk management the ACS is built around. The examiner is looking for the pilot who reads the whole chart, not just the airports. And here's a practical habit that'll serve you long after the check ride. When you build your nav log, write down the highest MEF for your route right at the top, next to your cruising altitude. Put them side by side. Make yourself look at both numbers in the same glance. It takes 10 seconds and it forces the comparison that saves lives. Let me tell you why I care about this one so much, controlled flight into terrain. That's the phrase the accident reports use. It means a perfectly good airplane, engine running fine, everything working, flown into the ground by a pilot who simply did not know the ground was there. No mechanical failure, no weather that reached in and grabbed them. Just a hillside in the dark, or in the haze, and a pilot who was a little low and a little off course and never saw it coming. It is one of the most preventable ways to die in an airplane, and it is prevented mostly on the ground, at the table, with the pencil, by a pilot who took the extra minute to read the biggest number in the quadrant and ask, honestly, Am I high enough? Learning to fly is hard, and it's expensive, and there is so much to hold in your head that it's easy to let the terrain fade into background noise. I get it. Airspace and radios and weather and the checkride tasks all scream for your attention, and the terrain just sits there quietly. But quiet is exactly what makes it dangerous. The mountain never keys the mic. It never shows up on the frequency. It just waits. So here's your takeaway for the next flight. Before you launch on any cross-country, run your finger along the course line box to box and find the single highest maximum elevation figure you'll cross. Say it out loud. Then look at your cruising altitude and ask whether you're above it with room to spare and whether your airplane can even get there today, at this weight, in this heat. Two numbers, 10 seconds. Every trip. That's the habit. That's the whole thing. My thanks to the FAA, whose Aeronautical Chart User's Guide lays out exactly how these figures are built, and to the aeronautical chart makers who do the quiet, careful work of putting honest numbers in every box so the rest of us can go home at night. You can find us at RadioHangar.com, and the next time you unfold a sectional, do me a favor, look at the empty space first, fly high. I'll see you next time.